Trend number 5, the road to age-defying therapies. Over the past several years, we've kept you informed about the promising potential of rapamycin as a drug that could extend human lifespans. However, the path to commercialization has not been smooth. Let's quickly review the initial research findings, examine the obstacles that have emerged, and explore the breakthroughs that are enabling researchers to overcome those obstacles. Rapamycin is a naturally occurring bacterial agent that was first isolated from the Streptomycin hygroscopicus bacterium in the 1970s. The drug is named for Rapa Nui, the Polynesian name for Easter Island in the South Pacific Ocean, where the bacterium is found in the soil. Rapamycin was approved by the FDA as an antifungal agent in 1999, and it is now given to transplant patients to prevent organ rejection. But rapamycin may also be effective in prolonging life and preventing aging-related diseases in humans. In 2009, researchers reported fascinating results of experiments on mice, whose genetic makeup is very similar to that of humans. According to the scientific journal Nature, mice that were given rapamycin at an early age lived 10 to 15% longer than mice that didn't receive the drug. And when rapamycin was given to mice that were the equivalent of 60 years old in human years, the impact of the drug was even greater. The lifespans of the older mice were extended 28 to 38% beyond those of mice that were not given rapamycin. Researchers from three institutions, the University of Texas Health Science Center, the University of Michigan at Ann Arbor, and Jackson Laboratory in Bar Harbor, Maine, conducted separate experiments, and all of them reported the same results. The animal model studies of rapamycin's anti-aging properties haven't been limited just to mice. The life-extending effects have been duplicated in a wide variety of species, such as worms, fruit flies, and yeast, so it is likely that the drug will be just as effective in humans. With an average human lifespan today of roughly 80 years, a 38% increase would mean that the average human would live to 110. This would do more to improve longevity than curing heart disease and cancer. Rapamycin changes the way the body responds to food and reduces undesirable responses to stress, such as oxidation that can damage proteins and DNA. Such damage makes people more vulnerable to disease, and it is believed to be a component of the processes that cause aging. In effect, rapamycin makes the cells respond as if the body were on a restricted diet, which has long been associated with health benefits and longer lifespans. Beyond longer lifespans, rapamycin has been linked to other benefits. In 2010, researchers at the Barshop Institute for Longevity and Aging Studies at the University of Texas Health Science Center at San Antonio reported that rapamycin restored learning and memory in two entirely different mouse models of Alzheimer's disease. Other studies on mice have shown that the drug may be effective in treating kidney cancer and lymphoma, improving cardiac muscle function, and extending lifespans of those with rare forms of muscular dystrophy. Despite its potential to prolong lives and treat diseases, rapamycin appears to have one unsettling side effect. In clinical trials of rapamycin as a cancer treatment, about 15% of patients develop glucose intolerance and insulin resistance, just like people with type 2 diabetes. Insulin is a hormone released into the bloodstream by the pancreas when people eat. It causes cells in the liver, muscles, and other tissues to absorb sugar from the blood. Insulin resistance occurs when cells stop responding to insulin's signal. This can lead to high blood sugar and ultimately to diabetes. Before rapamycin can be approved as an anti-aging drug, researchers will need to find a way to achieve the benefits of rapamycin without the side effects. Several teams of scientists are now working on this problem. To understand this challenge, we need to take a closer look at precisely how rapamycin works at the cellular level. Researchers from MIT and the University of Pennsylvania, working with mice, found that rapamycin inhibits two protein complexes in mammals called mTOR-C1 and mTOR-C2. The mTOR complexes for mammalian or mechanistic target of rapamycin are proteins that regulate cell growth, movement, and survival, as well as protein synthesis and transcription. Recent research reported in the journal Science has revealed that the two complexes affect longevity and insulin in two very different ways. Rapamycin suppression of mTORC1 appears largely responsible for its calorie restriction-like boosting of healthy lifespan, which is obviously good. And rapamycin suppression of mTORC2 reduces insulin sensitivity, which would seem to be bad. This is an important breakthrough because it shows that rapamycin's impact on longevity and its impact on insulin sensitivity are two independent responses to the drug. Therefore, if rapamycin could be modified or targeted in order to focus on mTORC1 alone, theoretically it would increase lifespans without raising blood sugar. To investigate this possibility, researchers at the White Institute and the University of Pennsylvania's Perelman School of Medicine bred mice whose mTORC1 activity was partially inhibited, but whose mTORC2 activity remained largely intact. The females of this mouse population lived longer than control mice while maintaining normal insulin sensitivity. The results suggest that disrupting mTORC1 alone could lead to longer lifespans without the side effects. Another interesting theory is that it isn't even necessary to modify rapamycin to avoid mTORC2 while targeting mTORC1. According to this theory advanced by Mikhail Blagosklani at Roswell Park Cancer Institute in Buffalo, New York, insulin resistance is just a natural byproduct of caloric restriction. In other words, when people eat less food, their bodies react as if they are eating an excess of unhealthy food. How can this be? When people are starving, the liver becomes resistant to insulin. This is necessary because when the body is in survival mode, the liver must change its focus to breaking down proteins and fats in order to feed the body's cells. Insulin gets in the way during such an emergency. It tells the body to absorb sugar, which comes from carbohydrates in food. With no food, the signal is irrelevant and can even be deadly if the liver heeds its call and absorbs glucose that is in short supply in the bloodstream, leading to hypoglycemia. So instead, the liver ignores the signal. The result is what is called starvation diabetes, which is actually beneficial. Significantly, with this type of insulin resistance, mTOR activity sharply decreases. That's because mTOR helps cells grow when nutrients are consumed. In the absence of food, there's very little mTOR activity. That's very different than the insulin resistance in diabetics. A diet rich in fats can overstimulate the mTOR pathway. It becomes less sensitive to insulin when cells have already gorged on enough sugar. Blagosklani argues that rapamycin leads to low mTOR starvation diabetes, not to high mTOR type 2 diabetes. This view is consistent with the findings of a 2010 study of people who had sharply restricted their calorie intake for an average of 7 years. The study revealed that even though the participants showed diabetic-like glucose intolerance, they also were extremely healthy by several other measures. And studies on mice have shown that when insulin signaling in mice is switched off, the animals actually live longer. Blagosklani concluded that insulin resistance is only detrimental to health when mTOR activity increases when people eat too much. Insulin resistance can be good for health when it lowers mTOR activity through calorie restriction or the use of rapamycin. As a result, according to Blagosklani, the obstacle to FDA approval of rapamycin as an anti-aging drug for humans isn't an obstacle at all. It's simply a case of mistaking the positive form of diabetes for the negative type. Looking ahead, we foresee the following developments. First, if the insulin resistance obstacle can be eliminated, rapamycin could be commercialized relatively quickly. Because the FDA has already approved rapamycin for use in organ transplants, researchers face fewer hurdles to getting permission to begin clinical trials to investigate its effectiveness in treating Alzheimer's or preventing aging. If the results are encouraging, rapamycin could reach the market as the first drug to fight the aging process. A privately held biotech firm called Rapamycin Holdings Incorporated is licensing the right to the intellectual property that is involved in making rapamycin-related drugs. Second, the impact of a life-extending drug would be overwhelmingly positive. For developed countries that will be starved for skills, overwhelmed with medical costs, and burdened with underfunded pensions as the boomers retire, this could be an enormous boon. As explained in previous issues of Trends, the birth rate is projected to fall below the replacement level in many countries. Expanding the lifespans of people who are already in the workforce would solve many of the challenges that a population implosion would bring. And third, rapamycin could also be developed as a tool to improve learning in young people, restore memory function in older adults with Alzheimer's, and treat mood disorders like depression and severe anxiety. Researchers at the Barshop Institute for Longevity and Aging Studies fed rapamycin to healthy mice throughout the rodent's lifespan. Rapamycin enhanced learning and memory in young mice and prevented the cognitive decline that normally accompanies old age. The mice also demonstrated less anxiety and depression than non-treated mice. Further studies found that levels of three neurotransmitters, serotonin, dopamine, and norepinephrine, that are linked to feelings of happiness, were significantly elevated in the midbrains of mice treated with the drug, suggesting that rapamycin reduces doubts and negative feelings that can get in the way of cognitive performance.